Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Well, the Blackhawks started this game being able to stay above water and ride the wave. More reasons than just one. They came out with a 2-0 lead to begin the second period, and things were looking pretty good in that second stanza. But then a shark attack came, 5 unanswered goals, 3 in the final 5 minutes of that second period, and the San Jose Sharks returned the favor to the Blackhawks with a 5-2 win of their own here at the United Center. They even up the season series, and the Blackhawks now see their losing skid hit 4 straight games. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 9:30 tonight. On the first day of the 2023 calendar year, and unfortunately the Blackhawks unable to pick up a win to show for it, let's head on upstairs to the radio booth and bring back in Kaylee Chelios, who's been joining us throughout this broadcast, was on the call with John Weideman tonight. And Kaylee, this was kind of a difficult game to dissect. The Blackhawks didn't get off to a great start, but once we hit about the halfway point of that first period, they were able to generate some offensive chances. That is, they carried that into the second period and came out of the gate with a 2-0 lead. But once they allowed San Jose to just get their first goal, the Sharks were kind of able to run away with it. It was a slow run, but they were able to run away with it.
Yeah, it's hard to look at this game and see that they had a 2-0 lead in the second period, and then the Sharks come back and score 5 unanswered, 3 of them coming in a period, too, where the Hawks had some really solid, strong offensive zone time and chances at the net. D were involved. Their penalty kill, I thought, gave them some momentum. So as far as the special teams go, they win that battle, but it's hard to see 5 unanswered with the effort they put forth early. It wasn't a full 60. There were times when, you know, a few players were going, but as Richardson has said in the past, you can't come out in a hockey game, especially with a team built and constructed the way the Blackhawks are, and have 5 or 6 players going. It has to be the entire team for a full 60, and the Sharks just took advantage of some defensive miscues and players out of position, and everything just seemed to go in the back of the net for the Sharks.
We haven't gotten any word just yet from Luke Richardson or anyone in the dressing room, but you and John were talking about it. I do just want to bring it up just in case there's any fans that were leaving the game maybe a little bit early and missed it, but Patrick Kane did leave the contest a little bit early, and we're not quite sure what that is, but I didn't see it on the video on the video feed down here in the basement where I do the post-game show. Is there any way you can kind of explain what you saw up there?
Yeah, I wish I could have seen the play leading up to what happened more, just to maybe identify what kind of injury that might have been, but I don't like to speculate that way anyway. But John,
for
and
sure,
I did see Kane going back to the bench pretty slowly, and it's tough to say what body part it was, but very slowly getting back to the bench, kind of laboring on his way to sit down. And then as he sits down, there's a little bit of, you know, he sits back, seems a bit frustrated. I don't know if he took his glove off or not, but right away Mike Gapsby, the medical trainer, came over and started chatting with him. And it didn't look great, if I'm being honest, and I'm sure Patrick Kane likes to keep things like that under wraps as best he can, being a star on the team and somebody that we're all going to be zeroing in on during the game like that. So his body language wasn't great, though, Joe, I will say. Mike Gapsby, I guess, we'll have to talk to Luke Richardson, and we'll wait to hear.
Yeah, for sure. We'll keep an eye on that throughout the post-game show. Going back to some individual performances tonight, we've constantly said good things about Isaac Phillips. I know you and John were talking about it at the end of the broadcast there. But Ian Mitchell got back in the lineup tonight. Luke Richardson wanted to see more offensive work from him. He had an assist on Patrick Kane's goal, and I feel like he was able to do what the Blackhawks want him to do a little bit more. Handle the puck, keep plays going on in the offensive zone. I know there was another play where he used his speed to keep the play alive over in the corner, so it is nice to see him do exactly what the coaching staff wants to see from him right in his first game back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you said it. He's kind of covering all the bases there and playing his game to the best of his ability. And they need him to have success. If they want to be successful here, he's a key part of this lineup. So you said it, Joe. I mean, the Blackhawks are a team where everybody has to play as close to perfect game as possible, and you have to get pretty good goaltending. And, you know, little contributions like that are going to go a long way with a player of that caliber.
We've asked this question a lot this year, but you got to put this one in the rearview mirror. You got a tough team in the Tampa Bay Lightning coming to town. You know them quite well. There's nothing you could do. Just move forward and get ready for the next contest, because the Lightning are definitely a team that is not going to let you take your time to get things going. Kind of like tonight, how it took a little bit for the Hawks to get going offensively in the first period.
Yeah, even in the past, though, I've always enjoyed, you know, when I started covering Tampa Bay, even though these two teams are sort of trending in a different direction, they obviously had that bad blood from the playoffs in 2015, and yeah. Tampa just continuing to be in a process where they are heading towards their window and in their window after that, whereas the Hawks, not so much, you know, kind of going the other way, but they really did seem to bring out the best of each other with Stamkos, Hedman, Patrick Kane, Taze. I always loved watching Patrick Kane play against Tampa Bay because he always turned it on, win or lose, and it was fun. But obviously they boast one of the best. Peter Mrazek feels the best goaltenders in the league, and Andrei Vasilevskiy. So if it wasn't already tough for the Hawks to score goals, Vasilevskiy is not going to make it any easier on them.
Well, and I think you're right, because Kane is a guy that gets a little extra adrenaline playing those tough opponents, and Taves too, for that matter. So it will be, and again, hopefully everything is okay. We get some positive words about Patrick Kane before the end of this one. But yeah, I agree with you. When the tougher opponents come to town, sometimes that brings out the better performance in the Blackhawks as well.
Yeah, it does. But I think when you have that history, but also for, like you said, players like Kane or Taze, you know, you want to show up and you want to remind everybody, hey, I might be in a rebuild, but I'm still Patrick Kane, and he still has a lot of players' numbers. But he has made comments before, too. I think it'll be exciting that he thinks Vasilevskiy is one of the most difficult goaltenders he's had to go against. It just seems like, and in years past watching Joe, every time he's had a breakaway or a chance against him, Vasilevskiy just seems to have his number. He's very difficult to beat, just his athleticism, his size, and the way he moves in and around his crease. So I am excited for that matchup if all things go well and Kane is, in fact, healthy for this game.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you then, Kaylee. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you in a couple of days.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Joe.
All right. That is Kaylee Chelios. She and John Weideman with the call tonight as the Blackhawks fall to the San Jose Sharks. 5-2 here at the United Center. The Blackhawks, unfortunately, see their losing skid now stretch out to 4 games. The first three on the road trip after the Christmas break, and now here at the United Center to begin a 7-game homestand. It is a 5-2 loss to San Jose. With the loss, the Hawks drop to 8-24-4 on the season. The Sharks end a 3-game winless skid of their own. They improve to 12-19-7 on the year as they pick up 5 unanswered goals. Gadjevich, Vlasic, and Barabanov in the second period. And then later on in the third period, it was Timo Meier scoring first, and then Evgeny Svechnikov making it a 5-2 lead, an eventual win for the San Jose Sharks. We're going to go ahead and give our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. We'll give it to Patrick Kane, who had 5 shots on goal tonight. And if you were tuned into our FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show, we did recommend Patrick Kane with at least 4 shots on goal in this game. So that was a positive payout of plus 104. So Kane with 5 shots on goal tonight. He ends up picking up his 7th goal of the season, his 3rd in the last 5 games. Ian Mitchell assisting on that goal. Later on, it was Sam Lafferty making it 2-0 Blackhawks. By the way, Lafferty with good numbers against the Sharks this year. His 3rd goal on the season in just 2 games. But then after that, it was San Jose. Again, Jonah Gadjevich's goal at the 15-12 mark in the 3rd period. Mark-Edward Vlasic was able to make it a 2-2 tie not even a minute later. And then before that 2nd period came to a close, the Sharks took their first lead and the last lead of this game, as they wouldn't look back from there. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. People asking about Patrick Kane, if he is hurt. Again, we're not entirely sure what the circumstance is about Patrick Kane towards the end of that game, being going back to the bench and then being looked at by Hawks head athletic trainer Michael Gapsky. Again, we're waiting on word from Luke Richardson and in the Blackhawks dressing room, but reporter Jack Heinrich just returned. So actually, why don't we head to our first break? When we come back, we'll play some of that sound, hopefully get a few answers. As the Blackhawks fall to the San Jose Sharks, starting off their seven-game homestand, they fall 5-2 tonight. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show here on 720. WGN. Tonight's three-star selection is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider. With your collision repair needs, visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. The number one star for tonight's game is San Jose Shark Alexander Barabanov. The number two star is Erik Karlsson. He extends his point streak to 13 games, becoming the first San Jose Shark in franchise history to have that long of a point streak. Logan Couture picking up the number three star. Should mention also that Alexander Barabanov also picked up the go-ahead goal for the San Jose Sharks tonight. It came late in the second period. It completed three straight unanswered goals by the San Jose Sharks in that second period, and eventually was the game-deciding goal, even though they picked up two more goals in the third period. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 9:30 tonight as we recap the first game of the 2023 calendar year. The Blackhawks fall to San Jose 5-2. San Jose returning the favor as both these teams matched up on October 15th. It was a 5-2 winner for the Blackhawks in that one on the road. And the winner of the season series will be decided on February 25th, that is, when both these teams meet up one more time out in San Jose. Jack Heinrich is back from the locker room and Luke Richardson's media press conference. Everyone talked to Patrick Kane. Kane was made available in the media scrum, so that's a good sign to see. It sounds like he seems to be fine. He did say he was going to check with Michael Gapsky before he left. We're getting that sound turned around, so just bear with us as we will get sound from Patrick Kane, Luke Richardson, and more when we get it available in just a moment. But the Hawks finding their fourth consecutive loss, falling to San Jose, who ends their own three-game losing skid as well. But the Blackhawks beginning this long homestand here at the United Center, seven straight games. Their next road game isn't until January 19th when they visit the Philadelphia Flyers. They've got the Tampa Bay Lightning coming to town on Tuesday night, 7:30 here at the United Center. Then Arizona, Calgary, Colorado, Seattle, and Buffalo. Long story short, there are some very tough opponents for the Blackhawks on this stretch. So even though this is year one of a rebuild, you were kind of hoping that they could steal a win away here from the San Jose Sharks, start this homestand off on the right foot, and gain a little momentum before taking on these tougher teams. The last couple of games obviously have been frustrating, especially yesterday against Columbus as they fell against the Blue Jackets yesterday. But today there was definitely improvements from that Columbus game in which Luke Richardson considered the worst performance of the year. Those were his words after yesterday's contest. There were improvements today, but again, it's still that 60-minute effort that this team is missing to generate some chances consistently, more than just catching lightning in a bottle from the second half of the first period to the first half of the second period like we had been seeing. Patrick Kane talked with the media. Let's hear from number 88, who scored a goal tonight.
Yeah, what do you think went sideways late in the second there?
Obviously we're in a good position there, 2-0, and I don't know if we thought it was going to be like an easy game after that for us, but just a couple breakdowns, a couple bad breaks too, and all of a sudden you're down 3-2 going into the third.
How deflating are those late period goals? I know we saw it on the road trip too.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to be better in those situations, like just finding a way to get to the next period, and obviously have the intermission to regroup and settle down, and it's a whole different game when you're going into the third and it's tied instead of chasing it.
What would you think about that pass from Mitchell on the goal?
Yeah, it was a great play by him. I mean, he held the blue line. I think it's something we can do more of if we have the right back pressure and the right setup to keep plays alive, and he made a great play holding it in, and just nice heads up play, not just to throw it back down the wall, but find me in the middle. So great play all around by him.
How challenging is it just to stay positive on beat right now?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously you know, we've been losing a lot of games, and I think it wears on a lot of guys. Guys get frustrated, and, you know, it's understandable. But at the same time, when we're in positions like we are tonight, you know, we got to find a way to, you know, not give up so much so easy. And it's been, you know, obviously a problem all year for us. But, you know, I think we have the right attitude. Guys want to win. Guys are staying positive. And, you know, especially tonight, I think we had a new outlook on things after just, you know, the last year and it being a new year and trying to start off the way we wanted to. So it looked like it was going right there for a while, and then it wasn't.
You feel like guys were tightening up after the first goal or after those two quick goals within 41 seconds?
I don't know. I mean, I think we can, you know, Luke talks about it all the time. He talks about whether we score a goal or give up a goal, that next shift after is so important. So maybe simplify a little bit in those shifts and, you know, make sure, you know, if a play is there, we can make it. If it's like 50-50, maybe we play it a little bit smarter, a little bit simpler, and keep the puck going ahead.
Are you feeling okay after that hit?
I think so, yeah. Should be all right. I'll get checked out here, so we'll see.
Okay, so there's the latest update of Patrick Kane after the hit towards the end of the contest. Straight from the horse's mouth, said he's going to check with Mike Gapski on his way out. I do have a couple of texts I want to get to, but first we're going to go to the phone lines. Again, 312-981-7200 if you would like to join. Steve was at the game. He's on his way home, and he saw a lot of positives. So, Steve, I'm definitely interested. What did you like what you saw from the Hawks tonight?
I thought the Garrett's popcorn was very fresh, but the rest of it was terrible. They were outshot 10-1 to start the game. And then specifically on the power play, Joe, and you watch a lot of hockey, is there a team in the NHL that will just stay on the perimeter, never move to the puck to the center of the ice, never hit the bumper play in the middle? And what happened to Seth Jones' shot? It's a muffin, and it's 6 feet wide every time he shoots, and he never hits the net. Joe, what's going on with the Blackhawks?
Well, I mean, what's going on with the Blackhawks, I think you can answer for yourself what's going on with the way this roster is built. I do understand your frustration with the power play. I would just like to see more of a shoot-first mentality. I think these guys, and again, I could be speaking out of turn here, but sometimes they're still looking for that perfect pass. They're still looking for that perfect shot. You've got the really offensively skilled guys like Taves, Kane, and even Domi, on those instances, maybe looking for the perfect opportunity. And I think at this point, you just got to fire away and let it go. And that's what I like to see from Seth Jones, but I understand your criticism of where those shots are going. But I would like to see Seth Jones just continue to shoot. I mean, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, because then your argument's a little counterintuitive, right? What would you rather see Seth Jones do in that instance?
Well, I would like to see somebody else besides Seth Jones on the power play. I think he's proven over the last couple of years here that he's not really a power play quarterback. He munches the minutes, and he seems like an okay defender, but there really isn't a lot of offensive flair. I would have rather have seen Mitchell play a little bit more. I wouldn't mind seeing Phillips get a chance there. And I think, quite frankly, when this team becomes good again, none of the guys here, except for maybe Phillips and Mitchell, are going to be on the roster. So why not? Let's get the guys that could be here in 2-3 years that are going to be decent. Let's get them some ice time and see what they can do.
I would like to see Isaac Phillips on that power play. I'm with you there. I would like to see how he fares there. Same type of thing with Ian Mitchell. I don't know, though. I do like Seth Jones on the power play, quarterbacking it, because he does a very good job of keeping the play alive at the blue line. This is my opinion. You're free to combat it, but I think he does a good job of keeping the puck alive in the offensive zone. I think he does a good job of quarterbacking because he's the most experienced defenseman in that role for that situation. But I understand that the numbers don't pop off. Plenty of fans are critical about this. I do think that Seth Jones does a lot of things that a score sheet doesn't show. And I know he's going to catch a lot of flack because of the contract that he has. But he is the top defenseman on this Blackhawks roster. That is what top defensemen make in the NHL. That's why Stan Bowman went out that far to go and get him when he did last offseason. What else? The Ian Mitchell. And Steve, I thank you for your call. We'll finish off with this because I do appreciate when you chime in. But Ian Mitchell's assist today, I thought that was a good sign, and Steve's gone. I thought Ian Mitchell's assist today was a good glimpse of what he's capable of doing. And you heard Patrick Kane talk about it too, being able to hold the blue line and keep plays going offensively. Want to go to the text line a little bit. The Blackhawks are a damaged product ever since Nashville embarrassed them in 2017. Again, please tell me how they are rebuilding, Dexter and Bolingbrook. Before we get to the answer to that, let's pause for one quick station identification. So Dexter and Bolingbrook is asking how the Blackhawks are rebuilding. I think it's pretty clear how the Blackhawks are rebuilding. They are currently at the bottom of the NHL standings. The point of rebuilding is to acquire draft assets, which is what the Blackhawks have been doing for the past year, which is exactly what they're trying to do this upcoming year, which is why Kyle Davidson built up this roster full of guys that have good mentalities, hardworking attitudes, and in some instances, an opportunity to prove themselves where they might not get that opportunity elsewhere with other teams. You're once again seeing this team not being able to compete with other teams when they don't perform for a full 60 minutes. When they cough up a mistake, the other team is able to capitalize. I do think there were some preventable goals tonight. You could look at the one by Barabanov. The setup of that goal was very impressive, very skilled, weaving in through the slot all by himself. But the finish, I think, could have been prevented. I think if you asked Peter Mrazek, that might be one he would like back. Somebody else on Twitter or on the text line, excuse me, and again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. Big thanks to Steve, who was at the game, for chiming in on his way home. So you just talked to Kaylee Chelios, and she mentioned that the player would probably like to keep the injury close to the vest since he is the main player, and this is talking about Kane. But you are going to insist to find out, to announce it to everyone. What's the deal, man? Do you just want to talk about something? No, if Patrick Kane is a little bit tweaked or there's something to be cautious of, I think it's very valid and very fair to bring that up and explain what's going on with Patrick Kane. And guess what? Everything was okay, at least as far as we know. He talked with the media. He addressed it at the end of his media session, saying he feels fine and he's going to get checked out on his way out. But I don't think we're reinventing the wheel here when we're bringing up concern about the Blackhawks' best player in terms of if he's able to continue on or not. Let's point out the good, because we're a good team. You seem to find a lot of the sad parts to talk about. Come on, man. Man, can this texter reach out to one of the other texters that says, I'm just trying to sugarcoat everything? Listen, it's another tough game. It's another tough loss. Unfortunately, we're finding ourselves going throughout these same conversations again, but this is what happens in a rebuild. I mean, Cubs fans remember seeing it with the Cubs, Sox fans to an extent too, and rebuilds are different with every team, with every organization, and obviously with every sport. But again, the Blackhawks are doing this because of what is available at the draft, what they are calling a generational talent in Connor Bedard. And even the number two overall pick, or the expected number two overall pick, Adam Fantilli, highly regarded as well. I almost wonder if the Blackhawks wouldn't be going this hard into the rebuild if that wasn't the possibility, if Connor Bedard wasn't a possible acquisition at the end of it. Other teams are doing this too. It's not just the Blackhawks. One of them being the San Jose Sharks, who end up gaining a couple of points on the Hawks with this win. Again, the Sharks improving to 12-19-7 with the win. The Hawks move to 8-24-4 with the loss. But the way that Kyle Davidson structured this team is to build it with hardworking guys, guys that can develop younger players that the Blackhawks want to be for the next successful team. Steve, who was at the game tuning in, was bringing up, or rather his doubts of many players being on the next successful Blackhawks team. I don't think that's fully a stretch, but it's really tough to guarantee what type of players, or which players, I should say, on this roster are going to be here 3 years from now. It's hard to dictate that. Obviously, Seth Jones is signed on long-term. Connor Murphy, the next longest term signed on for the next 3 years. And then after that, I believe it's Jake McCabe. Some of the younger talent on the roster right now, Philip Kurashev, Isaac Phillips, Ian Mitchell. I think the organization is trying to figure out what they have in those pieces and how their development is coming along. A guy like Isaac Phillips, who's been in the system already for a handful of years and is being groomed the way that he is as a defensive defenseman and spending his team kind of marinating down in Rockford, now coming up to the NHL level and showing it. And again, Ian Mitchell had a good game today too, I thought. So it's going to take time. It's going to be very particular about every player that's in this system because everyone comes in with a different role. Let's hear from the head coach, Luke Richardson.
Just saying, as you say, you know, whether you give up a goal, whether you score, just react the same way afterward. How tough is that as things just keep kind of...
You know what? You get a little bit of that feel sorry for yourselves, and I think you end up retreating. I thought in the third period, because of the second period when we've given up a lead, we didn't play as aggressive as we did when we got the lead. We were playing aggressive in the O zone and the D zone and moving the puck better, but it's just, that's what happens when you get scored on, when you lose some games. And I think when one thing bad happens, we're not ready to, at this point, to turn the page and get back to what we were doing well. I think we kind of take a step back and try and defend from the inside and play a little more safe. And safe is not going to, you know, guys against Carlson and Couture and that, if you play safe, they're just giving them room to play. So we have to get over that. Otherwise, it's going to be a long, difficult road to get out of it. And, you know, it's up to us, you know.
How deflating are those late period goals? I know you saw it in the...
Yeah, you know, I didn't really see a great replay, but on the second goal, but the third goal and the first goal, I just think our battle level wasn't as high as the other team for 60 minutes tonight. So it's like stick battles. You might be beside the guy, but we're not taking them. They got a lucky bounce maybe on the first one, but you make your luck by being harder than the other team and get your stick on the puck, and it flips over Mrazek, which played really well in the first period to give us that chance. And then, you know, the last goal, it's tough. I think looking back, if you roll the film back, we have an easy out. We decide we don't take it because we've been in the zone for a while. We're tired. We focus in on, just giving someone else, not your problem, but you want to get rid of the puck. And we could have been out up the strong side by the penalty box side, and we went back the other way. Then it has to get rimmed, and then we basically chip it to them. So that's not a turnover, but kind of is in my mind. And then we do a change, and then they get us on the rush. So, there's not one thing. I can't say we're bad on the rush all night. The first period, not great. But, the second period is more battles in the D zone. And the third period, I think it was feeling sorry for ourselves a little bit.
Mrazek, it seemed like he might have given up a little softy, you could argue, especially second and third. Did you see something different?
No, I think so. I'm sure he'd love that one back. I don't know if it ticked Mitchell's stick or just came off Burbano's stick wobbly. And, I'm sure he wants the short side shots. But he played so well in the first, and it gave us a chance to get that 2-0 lead. We got to protect him now and work harder in front of him.
Like the Meyer goal, the Timo Meyer goal, was just sitting there and nobody reacted to it.
Was that in the third?
Yeah.
I think that's where you pull back, and we have, I don't know if it was Isaac in front of the net, and he kind of pulls back where you got to flex out. But you think as a defenseman, young defenseman, you're going to protect the crease by getting in front of the crease. But if their player is at the bottom hash mark, you got to get out there on that. And then they beat us off the wall and got the rebound.
The play by Mitchell on the Kane goal, can that be a confidence builder for him, being obviously out to scratch for the last three games? Kane to keep it in, and then...
I think he played well there, and in the second period, I think he had a power play. He wanted the puck, and Double A just put it on the wrong side of him. I don't know if he thought it was Gallup out there as a left-hander or what, but he was wide open, and he was calling for it. That shows assertiveness out there, and that's what we need from him offensively. Defensively, I saw a couple good... making the guy cut back, which I talked about before, and getting right through his hands. But when you put a guy that's more offensive and a smaller level, when he gets tired, it's going to be harder for him to do that. So that maybe contributed a little bit to the third goal.
Was it displaying when that classic goal was upheld after a video review?
I thought it was a little bit of a forward motion, but you know what I mean? I think that's on us. We got to have him on the back door. I think McCabe tried to go up and play a little tighter on the strong side, and that's his play in the back door. So we just got to read these plays better and quicker, and I think that's what happens when you're starting to retreat. You retreat and you get puck focused, and you know we're losing what's going on around us.
I want to pull out a few things specifically that Luke Richardson talked about tonight's performance, but we do have to get to a break. I also want to point out a good text from a texter, and we'll also hear from Sam Lafferty as well. We're recapping the Blackhawks' 5-2 loss to the San Jose Sharks tonight on 720 WGN Radio. Got this text from the 630 area code. And again, if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text, 312-981-7200. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. But from the 630, it's actually Mike from Wheaton. Our buddy Mike from Wheaton. If I'm an 18 handicap golfer who starts off with two pars on the first two holes, I can talk all I want about playing a full 18 holes the same way. But skill is also a factor in playing a full 60 minutes, as it is for playing 16 more pars. Skill enables 60 minutes of good play as much or more than pure effort. Mike from Wheaton. Mike, thank you very much for chiming in. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. I agree and I disagree. I do think you can just provide more effort. I think that's a individual motivated aspect of hockey. Hockey's one of those games where you can just go out there and just try a little harder and make an effect, make an impact on the game, make a positive effect for your team. For the most part this year, that's what the Blackhawks have done. At the beginning of this season, Luke Richardson talked about wanting to be a team that is going to give the opponent a tough game no matter where the Blackhawks are at the stage of the season. And no matter where the opposing team is, for the majority of this season, I do feel that has happened. Not so much as of late. Let's put into effect or put into our thought process of what the Blackhawks are going through right now. This is year one of a rebuild. So there is a handful of losing. That takes a mental toll. It's really difficult for these guys to constantly stay up, stay positive. I think Luke Richardson and the coaching staff has done a very good job of that. It can start to wear on guys. It can start to weigh on players. We even heard Patrick Kane say, guys still have the mentality. Guys still want to win, but we still have to figure out a way to not give up goals so easy. It's just kind of not inevitable, but with the way the season has gone, the moment something slightly goes wrong, the Blackhawks have been in more games and they've had more experience losing games than winning games. So it just starts to become that snowball effect, that thought process of this might happen or this might happen, and then maybe pinch a little bit harder. So that's why it's such a difficult spot right now for Luke Richardson and this coaching staff to constantly keep that upbeat mentality. And all he can do is make sure that his team is prepared and ready each and every game. Tonight wasn't quite there at the beginning of the game. San Jose Sharks had the first 10 shots on goal, but once the Blackhawks got their offensive rhythm going, they turned it into a pretty decent first period. And then they came out of the gate with a better performance in the second period. So it's there. That compete level is there. That battle level, as Luke Richardson called it, is there. But it needs to be maintained for a full 60 minutes. And you see it sometimes. We saw it last Friday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. We saw it earlier in the month against the New York Rangers. And unfortunately, these circumstances are so easy to pull out because there are less of them than there are losses, but it is there, and it is a possibility of seeing it each and every day. It's just really difficult to generate it and keep it going for the full 60 minutes. Sam Lafferty scored his third goal against the San Jose Sharks this season. He gave the Blackhawks a 2-0 lead. Let's hear from the Blackhawks, number 24.
We start anyway. Sammy, guys, get off to the 2-0 in the second period. It feels like everything's going the right way. And then what happens if things just start going the other way?
It's momentum's a tough thing to figure out. You know, we had it, and then a couple of bad bounces, and then we don't have it. And I think we just got to stick to our structure when that happens and try to regain the momentum.
How frustrating was the third period, especially the second power play? It looks like you guys had a lot of really good opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. yeah, a lot of good looks for the power play. And it's almost feels like when it rains, it pours. Just need a bounce to get the momentum back, and just the way things are going right now.
What is it with you with goals against the Sharks?
I don't know. Just seems kind of random, but really nice play by Andreas, and I was lucky enough to get rewarded for it.
Yeah, it seemed like you guys wanted to keep that momentum going. Just kind of, what do you think was a key moment that didn't happen?
It's hard to pinpoint one thing. I think just their first goal seemed like a really unfortunate bounce, and you know, the way things are going, stuff like that happens. We get the wind knocked out of our sails, and we got to do a better job, you know, collectively staying up and, you know, keep pushing and get the momentum back when stuff like that happens.
How hard is it to keep a somewhat positive mentality through all of the struggles?
It's challenging. You know, on a night like tonight, we had momentum, and then, you know, it's gone out of nowhere, so... you know, tomorrow we'll just regroup, and you know, the good thing about hockey is you get to keep playing. You know, we got a game in 2 days, so it's another opportunity for us.
I know Hawks fans don't want to hear this, but there were some puck luck. There were some good bounces that went for San Jose, especially on those first two goals. The Gajewicz goal, which started as a heavy one-timer from Erik Karlsson, I believe at the right point. The rebound in front of the crease, whole bunch of traffic there. And if you haven't seen it, the puck flutters over Peter Mrazek, and it goes in. And that's what just opened the door for the San Jose Sharks. After that, it was Marc-Edouard Vlasic steering the puck into the net. And I have to use the word steering because the officials originally call it a kicking motion, which would have waved off. I should say the goal was originally waved off. They called it no goal because of the distinct kicking motion from Vlasic, but then after a review and challenging it coming from the San Jose Sharks head coach, they declared it wasn't a kicking motion, and it just happened to be the direction of Vlasic's skate that allowed the puck to go in. Here's the full-on rule. I don't have the official, oh no, here we go, rule 37.4. Video review determined that the puck deflected off of the skate of San Jose's Marc-Edouard Vlasic and that there was no distinct kicking motion. The rule states, in part, a puck that deflects into the net off an attacking player's skate who does not use a distinct kicking motion shall be ruled a goal. A puck that is directed into the net by an attacking player's skate shall also be ruled a goal, as long as no distinct kicking motion is evident. I'll be honest, I was surprised they overturned the call. I do think it was the right call. I do think it. There wasn't a distinct kicking motion. I think it was just Vlasic's right skate angled that way, and it almost, you can make the argument that he was just trying to pass it to himself to maybe get a shot off. But a lot of times, if the original call on the ice is one thing, you need clear, distinctive evidence to overturn it, and I guess they thought that that was quite enough. I just feel like in the past, you don't often see that call get overturned because of the original call. Again, I think it was the right call. I think the officials got it right. Unfortunately, it ends up burning the Blackhawks. That goal by Vlasic tied things up. That was also Vlasic's 77th career goal while he was playing in his 1,200th game of his NHL career. But the San Jose Sharks wouldn't look back from that. Barabanov making it 3-2 right before the end of that second period, and then two more goals from Meyer and Svechnikov made it a 5-2 lead and eventually a 5-2 win for the San Jose Sharks. We've got one more break to get to, so we've got a little more time to take your calls or take your texts. 312-981-7200. Wrapping up the Blackhawks postgame show next here on 720 WGN. Our final stop on the Blackhawks postgame show. Hawks fall to the San Jose Sharks 5-2 tonight from the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. Their next game will be on Tuesday, hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning. It'll be another tough one, but another fun one here at the United Center. And kudos, stick taps to the Blackhawks fans nearly packing the arena tonight on New Year's Day. Great way to kick off the 2023 calendar year. We've got some scores and some highlights to get to from around the league. Let's start in New Jersey.
What does he have in his bag of tricks? Svechnikov to the point, he scores! Oh, the little sleight of hand, and Svechnikov has put Carolina on top in the shootout. Ronta against Jack Hughes. Hughes, he dives into the middle of the ice, and Ronta gets the better of him! And the Hurricanes extend their win streak
Mike Maniscalco of 99.9 FM, The Fan, is the former Blackhawks goaltender Antti Raanta denying Jack Hughes. And yeah, shootout winner for the Carolina Hurricanes, not only 11 straight wins, but a 17-game point streak of at least picking up 1 point. Carolina improving to 25-6-6 on the year. The New Jersey Devils moving to 23-11-3. They have cooled off a little bit. You might remember their long winning streak earlier in the year. I believe it was up to 13 games for a franchise, or rather to tie a franchise high. But they are now 2-6-2 over their last 10 games. They got a couple of goals from Jesper Bratt, but it wasn't enough tonight. Let's now go to Florida.
The Rangers getting some of their power play on. Zibanejad forces his way through, parts a breakaway, and scores! I think he was trying to get it to his forehand. It slid through the pipe right between the legs of Bobrovsky, and the Rangers take a 1-0 lead.
And the Rangers eventually with a 5-3 win. They pick up their 20th win on the season. They had that 7-game winning streak earlier on in the year, which actually came right after they lost to the Blackhawks, and then they made it a 7-game winning streak by beating the Blackhawks here at the United Center. But since then, they've lost 3 out of their last 5. That includes tonight's win over the Florida Panthers. The Panthers on a bit of a skid, and they're actually 16-18-4 on the year now. They just got shut out by the Carolina Hurricanes in their last game. They only had 19 shots on goal, so rough times continuing for the Panthers as well. Let's go to Seattle.
Quick shot, top of the right circle. He scores! In his Seattle Kraken debut, rifles it home, and the former Predator has put the Kraken back on top. It's 2-1 Seattle.
And it eventually became a 3-1 Seattle victory over the New York Islanders, ending the Isles' 3-game win streak. That was Chris King of WRHU 88.7 FM as the Kraken pick up their 19th win on the season. The lone goal for the New York Islanders that game is still going on. There's 5 minutes left in the third period, but again, Seattle still on top of the Islanders 3-1, so they're trying to end their 3-game win streak. But the lone goal for the Islanders, Matthew Barzal picking up his 100th career NHL goal in his 400th career NHL game. Let's move to Ottawa.
Down the backside, Lucchini scores! First NHL goal for Jake Lucchini!
Well, for the 27-year-old, he gets his first taste of man advantage time, Dean, and takes full advantage as Jake Lucchini will lead the charge down the bench, receiving high fives for his first ever National Hockey League goal.
That's Dean Brown of TSN 1200 AM as the Ottawa Senators end the Buffalo Sabres' 6-game winning streak. I'm trying to see if Drake Batherson continued his point streak. It doesn't look like it. He factored in on none of the goals, so his point streak ends at 13 straight games. But Ottawa, with the win, improves to 17-17-3 on the season. Buffalo moves to 18-15-2 on the year. The Blackhawks' next game will be Tuesday night against the Tampa Bay Lightning here at the United Center.
Sergachev in the far corner by the net. Hedman golfs it around the near boards. Gostisbehere keep right point. Fumbles and Kalorn's got a breakaway. Alex Kalorn in alone on Vemelka. Kalorn holds. Shoots, score! Kalorn! 4-3 Lightning with exactly 1 minute left in the second.
That is Dave Mishkin of 102.5 The Bone of Tampa Bay Lightning Radio. Again, the Lightning coming to town Tuesday night. They're flying in tomorrow, though. A 7:30 puck drop here at the United Center. We will start the coverage at 7 o'clock right here on 720 WGN Radio. A couple more things for tonight's loss. The Blackhawks moving to 8-24-4 on the season. San Jose tying up the season series at 1 game apiece with the win. They improved to 12-19-7. They had a 3-game winless streak, I should say, on their own. And they end that today. One more text before we close things out. 2 points. Ian Mitchell's assist was negated by bad coverage on a goal in the third. Kane will be fine. If he was seriously injured, he wouldn't have been available to the media. Yeah, no, I agree. And he also answered that towards the end, too. But Ian Mitchell, I think we need to pull out the positives from what we see from some of the young players, especially the defensemen coming up here to the NHL level and playing to their game. And if you remember, Luke Richardson was saying at the beginning of this game that he wanted to see that offensive game coming from Ian Mitchell. He wanted to see him handling the puck, moving the puck, and shooting the puck. I think he definitely showcased that in tonight's game, and again, factoring in on Patrick Kane's goal. And Kane was fired up about that goal, too. If you look at the replay, you can maybe lip read what Patrick Kane is enthusiastically saying to his teammate Ian Mitchell. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser. ComEd for business. ComEd. Powering business. Powering lives. United Airlines and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to everyone back at the shack of the WGN Radio Studios. Ben Anderson was our producer tonight, and all three engineers helping out. Brett Jackson, the tireless Krista Flores, and Dan Long. Here at the United Center, Jack Heinrich was our reporter. Nick Heppner filling in on the engineer. John Weideman had the play-by-play, and Kaylee Chelios broke down the color commentary. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand. Once again, the final score, San Jose takes down the Blackhawks tonight, 5-2 at the United Center. Our next broadcast is Tuesday night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. News is next. We'll talk to you in a couple of days. Thanks for listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks Hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.